Hey, Daniel from Omaha sends me this incredible email. It says, "Dear George, I believe that spontaneous human combustion occurs when an angel with a flaming sword slays someone. In one fatal incident, a woman spontaneously combusted on a dance floor. But when witnesses approached her, the flames quickly died out. This makes sense. If an angel were charged with eliminating a certain individual, I'm sure that the angel would be careful not to harm other people, these innocent bystanders who might be present. No one seems to take my idea seriously, but frankly, I have heard no other likely explanations. From a scientific, chemical perspective, there really is no way for a living human body to combust on its own. Some outside force must be involved. For one thing, the temperature that is required for spontaneous combustion to occur, 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, is greater than the operational temperature of most crematorium ovens, between 1,500 and 1,900 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, the Bible does not specifically mention spontaneous human combustion, but it does mention angels with flaming swords. So let's put two and two together here. If an angel with a flaming sword did slay a person, what would the result be? The Bible indicates that angels are often invisible to the human eye. Therefore, if an angel with a flaming sword did execute a person, that person would most likely appear to burst into flame spontaneously for no apparent reason. Many people argue that my idea cannot be corrected. They say God is not a vengeful being. These people are entitled to their opinion. But frankly, their opinion is not biblical." Interesting theory, Daniel. I'll tell you that. Interesting theory. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do is open up a special hotline for the rest of the 3 hours that we've got open lines. You've got the rest of the numbers, of course. But this hotline, I want to dedicate only to weird stories. If it's not a weird story, call on the other lines. If you've got weird stories and you can't call on this line because it's jammed, you too can call on the other line. But this number, only for weird stories. That's 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. It's the Weird Hotline on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back to the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. This is Kathy. I'm calling from Louisiana.
Hi, Kathy.
And, hi. a couple of weeks ago, you had a guy on that was talking about the Star Nation, Star Adult thing.
Yes.
Okay. He was describing my cousin to a T. I mean, she was, extra smart, everything. And then one day she just started telling us that she had been abducted by aliens. And so upon questioning, she said that her parents, when she looked at her parents, they look like aliens. And my mom said to her, said, "Well, what do I look like?" And she said, "Well, you look like my aunt." And she said, "Everybody else looks like who they are," she said, "except my mom and dad." And she said, "I swear to you, they're aliens." So my question to you is, how would I approach her to question her about what might have happened to her?
She may not even know, first of all. And you have to assume that she might not remember what may have happened to her. But then, on the other hand, let's talk about it. Has she ever had a regressive hypnosis?
Not that I know of. I know that they put her on medication, and they've spent, like, thousands and thousands of dollars having her treated. And but, you know, she still says the same thing. She says that she's being followed. She says she's being watched. She will sit in her apartment with the window shades pulled. And, I mean, you know, just real paranoid.
Well, and you can't rule out the fact that she could be paranoid, first of all, that she's delusional. She's making this up. She's seeing it. Maybe her mind really actually believes it, but it's not happening. Always a possibility. On the other hand, who knows what could be going on this planet nowadays? You know, when we hear things about they want to chip us, they want to experiment with us, they want to see how they can even implant chips in people without people knowing about it. Maybe she's one of those subjects. You don't know. You might want to ask her about dreams, what kind of dreams she has had, see if she's dreaming about strange creatures and things like that, and see how receptive she is to it. Or maybe she starts to cry or she breaks down. That's always a telltale sign that something else is going on indeed. But other than all this, other than the paranoia approach, does she seem to be okay?
Yes. I mean, I can talk to her and carry on just a normal conversation about daily things. And, you know, she seems pretty normal, except occasionally she'll get, you know, she'll start saying, well, since she's on her medicine, she doesn't say a whole lot about it. But, because I think they got her on, like, you know, some kind of Zoloft or something like that. But with regular people, she'll carry, you know, she could carry on a conversation with you. But when it comes to her parents, she just is dime-y hard that they're aliens.
Well, if they do anything weird or supernatural, let us know.
Okay, but I have one other question for you.
Sure.
I had a dream. And in this dream, there was this man sitting in my seat next to me because I'm a truck driver. And he said to me, the end of time, he said, don't think logical, think figuratively, and you will figure it out. Do you have any idea what this could mean? And I'll take that answer out there.
The end of time, think logically, figuratively. I don't know. I have no idea. Not with a one-time dream. If it keeps coming back, then maybe they're trying to give you a message. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hey.
This is Michael from Kansas City.
Yeah, Michael, what's up?
I wanted to run a theory by you about the word impossible.
Okay.
I think the I am in the front of that word represents God, and that over time it was changed. Because when Moses asked God what his name was, he said, I am. And that maybe when, because the people that, the English language came from, I think, German and French. And then the people that sort of invented the language were mainly monks.
I am possible.
Right.
Might be.
Right. And that over time it was changed, and it's sort of like what David Icke seems to say, that we're sort of kept in prison about.
Well, you know, as you well know, a lot of things have changed over time. But you know what? Who knows? That's very possible. Let's go to the weird hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Now that's weird. Are you there? Nope. All gone. That was weird on the weird hotline. West of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah. Where are you?
Hi, this is Maggie. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I've been a Coast to Coast listener for probably 10 years, and this is the first time I called. Sorry, guys, but
what?
I was
finally
very determined to get through.
How come? Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. I have a story about a cemetery, which is a 100% true story. I was seeing a counselor for grief counseling after my dad died, and she advised me to gather my family and go to the cemetery to mourn my father's death. And I did that kind of reluctantly with my family. And I gathered my five children and myself. It was a very snowy day, and I had an approximate location for the grave, which was not my dad, I might add. It was my uncle, because my dad's burial place is about 60 miles north, which was kind of inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were out in the cemetery, my five children and I, and we were getting a little discouraged. We were scraping the snow, and I said, no, kids, this is the right place. This is the right place. And my daughter, my second daughter, Jessica, scraped some snow, and she said, this is it, Jim Berry. And this was my father's brother. And he was a veteran, and his grave was there. And it was his grave, believe it or not. And it said Barry. Sorry, I don't mean to reveal myself. We all gathered. We formed a circle and held hands, myself and my five children, and we said a prayer, and we were all very moved, and it was the first time I probably really cried and just really let go and just really showed the children how devastated I was about my father's death. And I kid you not, later that night, my oldest daughter's fiance was accidentally shot in the head and killed.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding, that night. And, well, I don't want to go into a lot of details or anything, but she's fine now. She's married and happy girl, and everyone's doing fine. But this was a extremely moving experience, and we were all really confused and trying to find the meaning in this and thinking, should we avoid cemeteries? Should we continue to pray in cemeteries, or what should we do? And I guess our final conclusion was that I personally felt that my Da was there with me that night and was giving me the strength to take care of my oldest daughter in a time where she would need me more than ever. And another thing was that from the time that my dad died, my daughter was my strength, 100% my rock.
Did anybody sense this before it happened to this, to the boyfriend? Did you have any strange feelings, or did your daughter have any strange feelings of impending doom or harm for him or anybody else?
Not at all. Not at all. This was like a...
So it just blindsided you.
Well, kind of, only that my counselor had urged me to deal with my grief, and we had agreed that perhaps going to the cemetery was a good idea. And I don't know, after what happened in the cemetery, I really felt like the strength in the family was passed from my dad to me, to my daughter, because my daughter was my rock after my dad died. And then I absolutely had to be her rock when her fiance was killed. I could no longer be in mourning, is what I'm trying to say, George, is that I could no longer lean on her. I had to, the transfer of the power in the family had to go from my dad, who I felt from the grave was giving me that power, that strength, that I had to in turn give to my daughter, unbeknownst to me that I would have to do that.
And it sounds like you did a pretty darn good job doing that, too.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. And before I go, one thing I just want to say to you, George. Some people call me a seer. Some people call me I don't know what. But I want you to be really, really careful with some of the things that you do on your show. I'm a long-time listener, 10 years plus. But I feel like it's not that you aren't strong enough, George. That's not it at all, ever. It's that there are some things that believers, which you are, there are some things we do not touch, we do not go near. And it's a very important thing, and this, I think, is more important than the story about the cemetery.
All right, well, thank you for that. And let me tell you, I have taken what I think to be the necessary spiritual precautions to do just what you've recommended, because it's been recommended by several people, not just you. And but the more you hear it, the more you realize that what you're doing is the correct thing, and that you need that additional help. There are some people out there in their own way who, on a very regular basis, use whatever powers they have to kind of encapsulate me, maybe this show, in as much light as possible. I mean, it is ongoing. There are so many incredible bursts of evil that try to get through to this program, or maybe even me specifically, that you're right. I considered myself to be a very strong person, but I don't think you can do it alone. So we have set up some people who know what they're doing in that arena, and they keep doing it on a very regular basis. And thank God, or knock on wood, that they're doing what they're doing. Let's go to our weird hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. It's Gary in Nashville.
Gary, how are you?
I'm just fine. I got a weird one.
Okay.
Go back to May the 11th. I had 1981, my 27th birthday. I took a solo backpacking trip up into the Smoky Mountains to kind of get away and just go up on top of Mount LeConte. Well, I went up Allen Creek Trail up to the top of Mount LeConte. It's about an 8-hour hike, uneventful, nice day. And got up, slept in the shelter that night, got up, everybody else. There's 16 people sleeping in a three-sided shelter.
Yeah.
And everybody had breakfast, bear come by, and of course nobody would feed it, so it got kind of perturbed and left us a present right in the doorway before it left. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do.
And I come down, I decided to come down the long way. I forgot what the trail name is, but it comes off the south slope of Mount LeConte. And I'd gone down to where the trail forked, and I took the left fork, which looked like nobody had even traveled on it there during that spring because none of the vegetation was trampled. I went on about an hour, and it's because I started getting real dark. Big bad storm coming up, and I didn't want to get caught in the lightning. There's been a lot of people killed up there in lightning strikes.
Oh, sure.
So I was running down the trail, and I must have went a half a mile, and I seen an overhang. So I ducked in real quick just before the thunderstorm hit, and I couldn't tell how far in it went. Not very far. And I sit there about 5 feet back inside this opening and watched the storm approach, and it got closer and it got darker. So I pulled a candle out and lit it. And when I lit it, I saw something in the glimpse in the back of the cave, like two eyes. And I said, oh, bear, what am I going to do now? Well, I sit there and I was afraid to go out because lightning was hitting close. So I just sit there. And a big bolt of lightning struck maybe 30 yards right out in front of the entrance. And when it did, I looked back, and whatever this was, it wasn't a bear.
What was it?
It was more human shape.
Oh, my God.
Ape-like, but just in the flicker of the light, it had brown hair, maybe 2-3 inches long. And
you saw Bigfoot.
I don't know if it was Bigfoot or something of that type of description anyway, but I was sitting there, I said, what am I going to do now? And I got to thinking, I just thought, I said, I'm not here to hurt you. I said, I'm ducking this storm. I don't get struck by lightning either. I said, when it's over, I'm out of here and gone. So we coasted there for about 15 minutes, and every once in a while, lightning strike, and I look back, and it never moved. And the storm moved on, so I come out and walked on down the trail about 30 feet, well, about 30 yards, kept looking over my shoulder. And finally it come out. It was about 6 foot tall, probably 200 pounds, brownish hair. It had a brown face and all. And when I was in the cave, I took an apple out of my pack and laid it on the ledge. And when I noticed it looking back, it looked at me on the trail and took a bite of the apple and turned around and walked the other way, and I come on down off the mountain.
I love it. I love it. The only other thing you could have added to that was it waved at you after it took the apple.
Well, it didn't wave, but it appreciated the apple. He was eating it. He or she, I don't know which one it was. But
That is one of the most original Bigfoot stories I've heard. I think that's what it was. I'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, I want you to do me a favor. Now, I don't ask for much, do I? At least I don't think I do. I need 92 of you. That's it. Just 92 of you out of the millions listening tonight to sponsor a child through Children International, and we reach our goal of 300, and then everyone will be happy. For a contribution of just $18 a month, that's just 60 cents a day, you'll provide a needy child with food, clothing, health care, and so much more. Now, how do you do this? Well, if you don't have a computer, first of all, here's a toll-free number, 800-301-9194. Here it is again, 800-301-9194. Or if you do have a computer, very quick, very safe and secure. You go to coasttocoastam.com on the left-hand side of the screen. Take a look at the yellow flashing banner. You can click that. There's a direct link to Children International, or you can also click the letter that I have. There's a little picture of the girl I sponsor, Maritza, and it'll take you straight to the website that way as well. Just 92 of you, we reach our goal. I would love to do it by the end of this weekend. Is that wishful thinking? We'll find out. And Art comes back this weekend. His Saturday program, he will have the Ghost Investigators on with some brand new EVP sound. So make sure you're part of that program. Don't forget the Ian Punnett, of course, with Coast to Coast Live. Glynis McCants, the numbers lady, will be Mr. Punnett's guest, 6 p.m. Pacific time. That program starts, and that's StreamLinks, of course, and it's on also some radio stations around the country. More and more beginning to add that program as well. Then Art will be back again on Sunday with his guest, none other than Dr. Doom, Ed Dames. Ed sent me a few emails over the weekend, and that's going to be a great show as well. Art is back after his three-week time off. And I'm glad he's back. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up. Oh, yeah, don't forget the weird hotline number is 818-817-0021. East of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, welcome.
Hi, this is Tim. First-time caller. Glad to hear you. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Tim. Where are you calling from? Where are you?
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, great. Neat state, by the way. Got a lot of friends that live out there.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a kind of weird thing that happens to me. I don't have a twin, but every now and then in my life, I've run into somebody who's exactly looks like me. And at that time, for a couple seconds, we don't speak, and then it goes away. So I'm thinking, the times that it's happened is, and I've listened to your shows, I wonder if it could have been maybe time travel in a way.
No, no. What that is, Tim, is that's your doppelganger. Have you ever heard of that?
No. What is that?
I mean, that is an exact duplicate of you. Now, in the past, doppelgangers weren't as nice as the person they resembled. So, I mean, if you were a friendly guy, the doppelganger generally is not. But a lot of people have them. I think I saw mine years ago, never saw him again. Do you run into this thing, this you, every once in a while, or is it just a one-timer?
Oh, no, it's a couple times. And, like, I mean, I find myself, I'm a nice guy and stuff, so it doesn't say anything to me. It's just, like, well, it just actually it nods, and then it's gone. And, kind of like smirks, nods and smirks, and then
yes,
it's gone.
Yes, that's right. Now, what is, let's call it an it for now. What is it wearing when you see it?
Oh, it's wearing the same clothes that I'm wearing at the time.
Okay, and how close do you get to it?
About, I'd say 10, 15 feet at the most.
Well, that's pretty close.
Yeah, and then I just blink my eye, and it's gone, disappeared. So I think it's probably what you're talking about, but is that in the way of time travel at all, or is that totally different?
I don't think it's time travel, but what you do, you just go on the internet and search for doppelganger. You're going to take a look at that, and a lot of this might make more sense to you.
Okay, I just find that very interesting. I'm glad to hear it happens to other people too.
Oh, so. It sure does. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay,
Tim.
George, happy Easter.
Okay, you too, okay. My friend. Easter. You know the great part about Easter, besides whatever you do in your own religious holiday, little kids, and you hide these eggs, whether they're chocolate eggs or real eggs, hard-boiled eggs, And little kids go hunting for them. And that is just precious. I used to remember our three kids. We would do that. And we did it with our grandchildren. And if you have never seen a child turn into a different personality, watch them on an Easter egg hunt. They become scavengers. Nothing gets in their way. They knock over everything. They'll push you out of the way. They go crazy to get to those little Easter eggs. And even a docile child, when you turn them loose, they go ballistic trying to get these things. But it's kind of neat to watch them. Let's go to our weird hotline. Welcome to Coast. You're up. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Who's speaking?
Well, what
was
do you
I
mean?
Just speaking,
speaking
with you?
I hope you are.
Was I just speaking with you?
You called me.
You're the interviewer.
I hope I am.
Okay, you're not George.
I better be.
You're George?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, hi, I'm Sharon in Montreal.
Hi, Sharon. Why are you so shocked that it's me?
Because you don't sound the same.
What do you mean I don't sound the same?
Slightly, but it's not the George I've been listening to all
these. Oh, see, but you're listening to me now.
Right.
On the telephone.
Right.
Where everyone else gets to hear me on the radio.
Right.
So as soon as you're done with the call, you'll go back to your radio and I'll sound the same again.
Right.
But actually, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Sharon. Can I?
Sure.
Before you tell me your weird story.
Okay.
There are two Georges.
There are, of course. You're not George Norrie.
One does the show.
Right.
The other talks to callers that we don't put on the air.
Me.
So that would be you.
Okay, how come?
Well, I want to hear your story first.
Okay.
And then if it's good, I'll put you into with George.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Fair.
Okay, you may have to repeat it again.
Okay.
Okay, so let's tell me it, and if I really like it, there'll be a little pause, and then George will pick up.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
At 4 years old, I started to have visitations into my room. It looked like someone was kneeling up. I was laying in my bed, my head on my pillow. I was about four and a half, and I thought there was this person beside me staring right into my face. I used to think that my dad was dead, so I thought it was my dad watching over me from heaven, because this is what my mother told me, that daddy was gone to heaven, blah, blah. Okay, moving along, I saw this periodically, off and on, over the years, and I never told anyone about it. And then when I was around 11 or 12, I woke up, and my nose felt funny, and I said to my mother, I feel like I have a rock in my nose. She examined me. She said, well, if it bothers you, tell me about it tomorrow or later on. And it was always there, and it stayed. And never anything more except that I pressed there, it would hurt. So this meant nothing to me at the time. I just didn't bother. If it hurts, don't press it. So I didn't press it. It didn't hurt. Then when I was, I'm nervous now.
Well, don't be nervous with me. Be nervous with George if you get that far.
You got me. Okay. Well, anyway, I didn't know anything about what it could possibly be. And when I was 22, I gave birth to my first child, and it didn't go so well, so they told me I couldn't have any more children. When I was 36, I got pregnant again. They said I could not carry the baby to term. They arranged for a spontaneous abortion for a fetus. I was in there at 7 o'clock in the evening. The doctor said, fine, you come in tomorrow morning. We're going to do the curettage. Fine, I went in. There was no baby there.
There was no baby there?
There was no baby. And I have documented proof from the gynecologist and the doctor himself the next day and the nurses. They couldn't understand. They said, well, there was a baby there at 7 p.m. last night.
Do you think this baby was taken?
My husband, I knew nothing about aliens. It never crossed my mind. My husband knew a lot more about it, and he thought it was phenomenal that this had happened because where did the baby go?
Sharon, I like this story. You want to put it on Coast to Coast?
You like it, but I'm scared.
Well, I know. Do you want to talk to George?
Yes, I do. What, Mike?
All right. Sharon, you there?
Yes, I am here. And that really happened to me.
All right. Well, hold on. George will come on in just a few seconds and then just go right into your story with him. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
Let's go to our weird hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. What's your name?
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. What's your story?
Who's this?
This is George.
George Norrie?
Yes.
Oh, because I just had another George. Hi, I'm in Montreal. I listen to your show all the time. Uh-huh. I've never told a story to anyone, but if I'm going to tell someone, I think it should be you.
Well, thank you. What is it?
Well, it started happening at about age 4 and a half. My dad had died. My mom told me my dad was in heaven watching over my brother and I. Fine. I used to get, in the middle of the night, something would rouse me. I'd wake up, and there beside my bed would be a little figure. And it looked to me like it could be a man leaning on my bed, and his face was almost face to mine, only he was upright and I'm laying on my pillow. It was about less than 10 inches away, and I thought, Daddy's watching over me. This must be Daddy. But I was afraid to tell anybody because I didn't know what it was. And so time passed on. I was about 11 years old. I had the same sensation, only this time I told my mother, there's something that comes at nighttime beside the bed. She said, well, sleep in my bed with me, Sharon. And I did. She said, now, if anything happens, you have a dream or anything, wake me. And I did. I woke her, I said, Mommy, it's there now. And by the time we turned back to my side of the bed, to where the figure had been standing, this little figure, it was gone. Anyway, a few days later, I started complaining to my mother, I recall, and I was about 11 or 12. There's something in my nose, Ma. It feels like I got a rock in my nose, a little rock right here on the side of your nostril. And she looked inside and says, no, sweetheart, but if it continues to bother you, you tell me we'll go see the doctor. Well, I found quickly that if I didn't touch there, it didn't bother me. But it really felt like a little tiny pebble or a tiny something inside there.
Like an implant.
I didn't know at the time anything about aliens until I started listening to you. And my husband told me to call you tonight because I won't tell anybody here about it. Anyway, time went by. I had a baby at age 22. She was born premature, but other than that, she was very healthy, grew up to be a fine school teacher.
All right, well, that's good.
But then I got pregnant again, against doctor's orders. It was just an accident. I got pregnant at age 34. Doctor said, you will not carry this baby to term. We are going to have to do a spontaneous abortion. Take the baby now. And it was a pretty upsetting trauma for my husband and I.
I don't blame you. Of course it would be.
Oh, yeah, it was shocking. But anyway, after many tears were shed, I went to see the doctor. I said, okay, we're going to go through with it. And this was 7 o'clock at night. We had the preliminary exams. I was going to the operating room the next morning at 7:30, where I was the next morning at 7:30, with the surgeon and his assistant practitioner and two nurses, and there was no baby to be taken.
Where'd it go?
We don't know. I have documented proof of all this. My husband made me get it because he wants to know where the baby went. It was there 7 p.m. the night before, 7 a.m. the next morning after not eating all night, having a normal night in a clinic, the next morning to wake up, go in the room, and nothing.
You know, and what we hear sometimes too, Sharon, is eventually once the child, if it happened in your case, is taken, that they somehow later want you to, just for a brief moment, mingle with the child later on as it gets a little older. Will that be weird for you if that happens?
Well, I suppose it'd be quite surprising, quite shocking, but endearing.
All right. My call screener is waving his hand. He wants to talk with you, so hold on for 1 second, all right?
Certainly.
All right. Hello, Sharon?
George, number 1A or 1B.
Now, did you tell him the story?
Yes, I did.
What did he think about it?
He said that sometimes they want me to mingle with my child someday. I don't know what that means.
Well, that means they'll probably abduct you or something.
No.
Away. Yeah, they meet the child, then they bring you back.
You've heard of this?
Yeah, that's possible. Okay, well, thanks, Sharon. I appreciate you being on Coast to Coast.
What do you mean?
I've got to take more calls.
Okay, but sometimes they take the mother to visit with that baby?
What happens a lot based on things we hear. I mean, George could tell you that. You want to talk to him again?
Yes, I'd like to know where to get information.
I don't know if he's going to talk to you again. He just had you on the air.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't you ask him, though, where I'd look it up? Or who I could speak to if I should. I don't know if I should even speak to anyone. It's such a peculiar story for this day and age.
Well, hold on. Let me see if I can get George for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's go to our weird hotline again. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I just spoke with you. It's Sharon.
How, what are you doing back on the air again, Sharon?
He put me back to you because I meant to ask you, is there anyone I could talk to that's in relation to Montreal, Canada, anyone, or anything I could look up on the internet about what you said?
Okay. Well, the best thing you should do is go to the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side, click Show Info.
Yes.
Okay, and then Guests pops up. Click that. Get a hold of Bud Hopkins. H-O-P-K-I-N-S. He can help you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the story, Sharon.
Bye. Oh, man. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I don't know whether to laugh at you or call you a jerk, but
I know it. I get in these weird moods once in a while.
I know. It must be really late for you.
It's almost. It was a full moon yesterday, wasn't it?
No, that's right. That's what it was. Anyway, my name's Jameis. I'm calling from Medford, Oregon. I guess I had a question about, you were talking about Dimitri earlier, and I, ever since I heard that on your show, you know, back when it aired, I've been pretty fascinated with it because, you know, I've been fascinated with that kind of thing. But, you know, like you said earlier, it, you know, what he said didn't come true.
At least as far as I'm concerned, it didn't
right.
come true.
Well,
I don't know what else happened on this planet, but based on what he said like, the you know, you'll all know what happened.
Right.
And, you know, I don't see anything unusual in terms of breaking news stories today.
Right. And, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing today. But anyway, I guess the question that I had was that the original recording that you had, or was that remastered? Or,
that was, you know? No, that was digitized and altered, as I had said, but the original Dimitri started the correct way. The guy was talking about his mother and where he was from and everything else. And then as he went into the voice, they put it through one of their machines and their apparatus.
Oh,
how they do it, I do not know, but they're pretty clever around here.
Uh-huh. So what did it sound like before it was remastered?
I don't know. I'll listen to it when I get back to Los Angeles. I'm still in St. Louis.
I see. Because, yeah, I would, you know, if you could, I'd love to see what it sounded like, you know, before anything happened. And, you know, it would be interesting to hear what it sounded like. But, you know, that's about it.
I'm glad I didn't interview him.
when I heard that, that was pretty interesting.
Okay, I appreciate you being part of the program. Another hour is going by. Thank you, too. These are going by way too fast. I'm glad tonight that we're doing 4 hours of open lines because we've got two more hours to go. Don't forget the weird hotline. That's 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. Need to email me. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. If you need to fast blast me during the show, no charge here for that. You go to coasttocoastam.com, look at the eyes of Sigmund Freud. You can set yourself up to fast blast instant messages to me right here on Coast to Coast AM.